Egunon, sail ofizialeko Casanova Variations filmaren.
Good morning. We're going to commence the press conference of the official section, Casanova Variations. So therefore, please, can the photographers please finish doing their work, if you'd be so kind. And we have with us the director, producers, and actors and actresses, musical director, that is to say, we have most of the cast of the film, and they're eagerly awaiting your first question. Your first question, please. Someone's just raised their hand there in the center. I hope you can hear me. Hi, welcome to all of you, and I would like to ask Mr. Malkovich, what interested you about this project or this film, whether the form, the way it was done, or the character of Casanova, meta theater, meta on stage theater, meta John Malkovich? Thank you very much.
Well, Martin and Mikael and I had previously worked on an opera, which was an experience that all of us enjoyed very much, I think. And this, and through that experience, we decided to do a second project together, originally, obviously, just for the theater. But the idea to do something about Casanova was not my idea, that was Mickey's idea. And the film came about because Paolo Branco saw the opera when we were performing in Versailles. And so the film evolved from Paolo seeing the opera there.
Buenos dias.
Hi, good morning. I would like to ask Mr. Malkovich, whether you bore in mind the role that we never forget about Donald Sutherland portraying Casanova. And I would also like to ask you, in the film you talk about privacy, what that play between mixing real life and theater, to what extent do you know that the audience has to know something about, the audience has to know everything about an actor, or like in the times of Greta Garbo, there's got to be a bit of mystery vis-a-vis the figure of an actor?
Well, I never saw Fellini's Casanova. I like Donald Sutherland very much, and in fact, as I was discussing last night with Willem Dafoe, after touring our piece for a couple of years, I really couldn't go on traveling all the time. So I was trying to get together a group of actors who could do it and would like doing it. And one of the people I thought about was Donald Sutherland, who I think is a wonderful actor. And one, oddly enough, was Antonio Banderas, who I saw this morning. But I think probably they, in a way, had, Willem was already doing two plays with Robert Wilson, so it wasn't possible for him. And a lot of the other actors had reservations about committing a year in advance or traveling all the time, et cetera, so we weren't able to do it. And as far as the question about privacy, well, there isn't any. So, on a certain level, but on another level, I live in my own private world, so and nobody can really do anything about that, though they've tried.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question for both Michael and Mr. Markovic. So, as a director and a performer, I would like to know if you give importance to what critics say. I mean, if it worries you or anything about the movie, or not really.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
If I may start. It's very important for us what critics say, because you are like our help to reach the public. And with a film like this, between all the chairs, we need the people to understand what kind of film this could be. So we need you very, very much, and we are very, very afraid of you. And on the other hand, we hope that the film is strong enough to kind of find its way to your hearts and through your hearts to the way of the hearts of the public.
Me, I don't so much mind, but then that's not my job. I don't have to come and see 40 films and say something about them. And if I had to, I think I'd be very bad at it. So. I don't worry too much about it because I don't worry about things I can't control. So,
good morning. This work, I saw it when you premiered it in the International Film Festival in Santander as a play or on stage, and I would like to ask two questions, one to the director and one to Mr. Malkovich. Mr. Malkovich, from Dangerous Liaisons, there seems to be fixed upon those sorts of characters, Casanova-like characters, and I would like to know whether that's to destroy the character, or destroy the myth, that is to say, or to defend the myth. And that's my question to Mr. Malkovich. So to the director, there's a certain distance in the theater, which is by Walter Brecht, to be telling the story of the opera and the adaptation and to break the rhythm of things with that character, I'm not too sure, of the doctor girl who goes up to him when the protagonist, when he falls on the floor. Why taking that position and breaking the rhythm of things in that way?
You want to do first? If it goes about the structure of the film, so we, as we have been touring 4 years with two different plays around the world, I had the strong wish to combine what we experienced around it. So we kind of invented another line, which is a line about a legendary man and a public persona, because Casanova was a very, you know, in the 18th century, he was very famous, but nobody. No, I mean, he was famous for breaking out of the jail in Venice, but nobody knew exactly what for, but he had this huge legacy. And then through his name, he became a legendary person, even to people who have no idea who he really was. Casanova is a Casanova. So we tried to kind of explain that this is what happens, the myth, the legacy, the public idea, which has nothing to do with the person. This also happened to Casanova, and this also, we tried to kind of, through this invention of showing a play and then showing a historical movie and then at the same time showing the backstage, we try to go on telling the story of Casanova in certain layers which transported into our presence. That's why we broke it, and I think that the rhythm is in the movie is a new rhythm, and it did not break the rhythm of the theater, but it added something and it made it more complex and more, even probably more interesting.
The first part of the question, I'm not entirely convinced I understood, but I think when one, at least when I play a role, I just play what's in front of me. And if the character is someone who wants to be seductive or likes being seductive or has to try to be seductive, then I do that. But if they don't, I don't. And I think both say Casanova and Valmont, and I played as well Lord Rochester, the very famous English libertine. I mean, I don't find them seductive because they're so tragic, by and large. But some people do.
Un momento, primero allá a la derecha. Adelante.
Yes, over there on the right. A question for the director. For the director, over here. For the director of the film. A few years back, the real figure of John Malkovich means that a script got into the maze of his mind. And now, all of a sudden, you break time and rhythm and space, and you mixture the real figure of John Malkovich with an opera. What's the power of attraction that the real figure of John Malkovich has to modify the whole story? And to the director, and for Mr. Malkovich, and I know I want you to be humble here. I'm appealing to your humbleness. What do you see in these directors and these scripts so that your real Mr. Malkovich, gets involved in a story that doesn't belong to you in any way? I hope you got those two questions.
Well, my feeling about really anybody is they may be talented. And they may be very talented. The fact that they're not known doesn't mean anything to me. All my life I've worked with people who weren't known, but I thought were talented. The film I directed, Dancer Upstairs, it took me 8 years to make it because everybody kept saying, who is Javier Bardem? And why would you want him to be in a film? That's life. I don't complain about it, but it's the way it is. So for me, I've worked with many first-time directors or directors who weren't very known. But as I said earlier, Mickey and Martin and I had a very good experience doing our opera. Mickey had done a film before, he'd studied to be a film director. I didn't have any doubts about him. I had some doubts about the structure of the story, which really only had to do not really with the story, but the oddity that there had already been a film called Being John Malkovich, which wasn't about me at all, and which I had nothing to do with except as an actor. But when my movie producing partner, one of them, a woman called Leanne Halfon, when she read the script Mickey had written for the movie, she didn't find it problematic at all. And I normally feel, especially in this instance, that she would be more objective than I would be, because obviously I wouldn't be very objective about it. Obviously. So, but I didn't have any doubts about doing it because I'd worked with Mickey for years and Martin and Florian and Veronica. And I think it's the sixth or seventh film I've done with Paolo. I had worked with Lola because she was in my production of Les Liaisons dans Jacques in Paris a couple of years ago. So it was a group I felt I knew by then quite well, But as usual, I mean, any relationship, even a working relationship, has a starting place. And just because someone isn't known doesn't matter to me.
Por favor, los fotógrafos terminen ya.
Photographers, please stop taking photos, if you'd be so kind. Next question.
The question was, if just about the private John Malkovich, we thought we'd be playing with what happened, really happened to us in many, many, many performances, and we put a few flashes of this into the film. But what I was trying to say is, it is an idea of showing what a legend is, and still you can laugh about it because, of course, a lot of the legend has nothing to do with the person. And as legendary as Casanova was, John's legend, which might have nothing or not so much to do with his person, just through a special role. And then you see, it's very funny because it's still very present here, because people ask him if he always plays a seductive character. And I think after Valmont, he played a few, but he played 10,000 others. In another press conference where we had a serial murder play, John was asked why he's playing all the time serial killers or crazy people. So there is a lot of ideas out there what he's been playing all the time, and he's been playing much more. He's been playing every very different characters. So the beautiful thing about the public opinion is always that the thing which is in the moment there becomes a figure of its own, mm-hmm. and it walks its own ways. And this is something we wanted to add into the idea of Casanova, because I'm pretty sure that he had this kind of legacy in his life, in the same kind of balance. And it's a way of course, laughing about everything we do, which also is something which we really appreciate. Thank you.
Hi. Hey, hello to everyone. Before we start, I have to ask you something that they asked me to ask you. Next year I will ask them not to ask me to ask this thing. Can you wave to the camera while I take your picture? Can you like say hello? Like that?
Can I or will I?
I'm sorry, that's not a question.
Will you please?
No.
Oh, sorry, okay. Last time it worked.
The question is,
and I'm going to ask it in Spanish because I'm sure if I would be able. It's for all the cast, most
para todos.
And answer this question is most of all to the feminine cast. How did you feel about working in a movie where Casanova is just like a great figure, and the feminine cast, the feminine actors, the girls that are around? I said I was going to ask it in Spanish, but I'm asking in English. Sorry. The girls are just aligning his book. Were you afraid of being, not having presence enough to be more than that? How did you work that? How did you work the presence in the film? Thank you. See, if you want, I can repeat it in Spanish and they can translate it maybe better than
no,
I
no, no, it's fine. So I was not scared to just be one episode in his life, because the movie starts at the last decade of his life, and the character I'm playing, she arrives at the beginning of the movie to his castle having one goal, just to steal his memoirs, because he was such a famous person. And that would have been amazing for her to possess the knowledge of whom Casanova has been with. So you must imagine that would have been a tremendous treasure if you transfer that in our times, to know to whom married woman he had made love to. So she's coming with that goal, and I was not scared at all to be just an episode, because she's the last love in his life, and they have an incredible story and a great arc of the character. I was more scared to learn 120 pages of English perfect accent in 2 weeks. That was more my concern.
No, not at all. Every woman just passed through Casanova's life and were just moments of pleasure in his life. And in my case, in my character's case, he was like a rock star for her. And all she wanted to know was if it was true, if he was that incredible as they said he was. And I think she understood that at the end, and that's all she wanted and needed.
So was he?
I don't know.
I can say something. I've been touring the theater play for a couple of years with John, and for us it was always the question whether something is more or less important was totally uninteresting. It was always about not being bored. It was about having fun. It was about doing something which we considered to be interesting and still interesting in doing it again. And that's been the same thing with the movie, and I felt it very strongly in doing it with everyone in the cast. Everybody was having a ball. Everybody had a good time. And we're having it here and today, and that's what it's all about. And that's very much about working with people like Mickey and Johnny and Veronica. It's fun. And this is actually what's totally bloody not important whether you like 2 seconds in a movie or an hour. It's about not being bored.
I have 2 questions probably for the director. First, was there any space for improvisation even though the stage or the play was quite set? And secondly, how was it to work with the light and the changes of atmosphere between opera stage and palace stage?
Yeah, first of all, we kind of together developed the program of this whole thing. It's called The Variations. And this is how John and I worked together on the first piece we did, theater piece called Infernal Comedy, and we found out that we both are very interested in a form that gives you a way through the woods, but you decide which tree you want to pass. So there's a lot of freedom and a lot of improvisation in there. And something which I don't know if it had been focused on here, but we have a very strong part of this is a musical part. And we have recorded everything live, which never happens, you know. In normal, regular opera films do playbacks. So they go to a sound studio and prepare a perfect opera recording, and then people just move their lips. And we recorded everything live. We have a conductor, Martin Heidelberg, where is he? Who is capable of, like, following singers while they are in front of the film camera with the whole orchestra. So we had a terrible disadvantage or advantage that we could not be easily perfect, but we could try many times, try different times, and then on the editing, and there is a wonderful editor, Evie Roman, where is she? She's, I think, down there. She had tons of material, but everything, there were big mistakes, there was no continuity, there was no, like, because every time the people did something differently. So we always had the program that we wanted very, very alive. And we don't care if it's perfect, but we want the expression be as good as possible and as present as possible. So we want to catch what the theater can do for a movie. We didn't want to, like, have this kind of, okay, I'm filmed now, so I'm... Like, no, we wanted to be, like, more present than in the presence of the theater. And that was one thing which was above everything else. We want to catch the moment. And that's also the program of Casanova when he says, I need variations. I cannot repeat it because repetition kills. And your second question?
About the lighting.
About the lighting. So we decided to have everything filmed with handheld camera because... We can't know what's going to happen, so we can't prepare trails because they would always run away from the trails. So we had the cameraman to follow and to be able to react on anything. So we had sometimes one, sometimes 2 cameras, and we went on and on. So we decided we have to do the same kind of aesthetical project for the historical film, first of all, because there are not so many handheld historical films. They always, like, like in opera, they always have a kind of very, very, very well set classical way of doing it. And I thought we want to get it out of this kind of seriousness into something which is very alive. So we decided to do everything on handheld camera. And we didn't want to have a completely different life because we wanted to switch between the worlds without showing you the threshold. So there are some times when you don't know if you are in the castle or on the stage, and next moment somebody is starting to sing, and then you see, oh, there's an orchestra. And then we're back there. So we wanted to have the best freedom, so we had to kind of put everything into this, the easiest and the most alive kind of way of doing it. Thank you.
Hi. Question for Mr. Malkovich. Mr. Malkovich, Ilvia Roth, it says, in the paradox of the comedian, gestures, times, and managing of your voice, furor, rage, it all forms part of a room with reality which is configured based upon memory. When you finish the representation, the actor doesn't feel any pain or melancholy. He is not disturbed. He just all of a sudden gets rid of all of those memories until a new rehearsal comes along. That, according to Diderot, is the paradox of the comedian. An actor should not feel anything. Only the viewers, the audience, should feel. Do you agree with that philosophy? And finally, and before you mention Donald Sutherland, when he played Casanova, however, for me, the most important portrayal, or the most important portrayal of Casanova, was done by Marcello Mastroianni in the film of Ettore Scola, Il Mondo Nuovo. And I would like to know whether you saw this portrayal of Casanova and whether you consider it and deem it pertinent to talk about it, whether it influenced you at all. Thank you very much.
No, it didn't influence me. I mean, I knew Marcello and then actually had the great delight of working with him. And I mean, it's Marcello Mastroianni, it's not much you can say. But I never saw the film, and only clips I saw at the Casanova exhibition in Paris a few years back. But I never saw the whole film. And as far as the quote about being an actor, yeah, I would probably mostly agree. Maybe not wholly. I would only say that I would only say that an actor feeling something does not preclude an audience feeling it also. But basically I would agree that I anyway think of acting more as kind of therapeutic, and even if I happen to feel some of the things that character feels, A, it's likely that I'm lying, and even to myself. And B, I don't think it matters because it kind of passes through you. And as he said, then you're on to the next rehearsal. And I think that's healthy, actually. And I feel the same way, for instance, about the music. It, because it's so sublime, it may provoke feelings of the sublime in us, but that doesn't make us sublime. Far from it. Well, yeah, but I mean, in the end, it doesn't make us sublime. And that's very sad, but
c'est la vie.
I would like just to say something about the aspect of the what was really a kind of enormous defeat for this project, and it's the idea of the risk that for example, Martin took and the singers to be on direct on this theater for so few days, and accepted it. Because we didn't have any chance to come back, and to have the singers singing in direct like this, the orchestra to be there in direct with these conditions, and what they really accomplish, it's incredible, and that something for the producers was our. We were afraid at the beginning about that how they could take this risk with so few days coming and going, being there in direct, because all the music that you saw, that you hear in the film is really on direct. Nothing was, after, arranged or something like that. And this is, I just have to say that. In public for once. Okay, thank you.
Hello, first of all, congratulations to all of you for your great job. And I have two questions. The first one is for Mr. Sturminger. How did you approach the cinematographical transfer from the stage play? I mean, what process did you follow? And what things did you focus on in terms of preparing a film version of something which had to be much more than just a filmed stage play? And for Mr. Malkovich, you seem to have fun playing yourself or versions of yourself. I mean, I don't know if it's that way, but that's the impression you give when we see the movies in which you play some version of John Malkovich. How do you approach the character? How do you take on this John Malkovich variations?
But honestly, I don't think so much about it. I mean, I watch more what the other actors do and respond to that. It's hard for me to think of myself or think of myself as a character. 'Cause what would it be? Who is it? I have no idea. But thankfully, I don't think about it. I just do.
He doesn't think about it, but he comes up with very funny dialogue lines. So it is a kind of a game, or it is very playful, like reacting on reality in a very playful way, which kind of makes it lighter. To the preparation or the difference between the play and the piece, the play and the film, a film, we had the chance to be more complex. We had the chance in the play, we had like four people playing every character, two actors and two singers, a girl and a boy and a girl and a boy. So that's everything we have in the play. Here we can show an incredible variety. You could never have all these fantastic actors and singers on one stage for one evening. Nobody would pay for that. I mean, maybe the Metropolitan Opera, but they wouldn't invite us until now. But so we have. Then we have the complexity of giving different kind of layers over each other. So I think that that our work on the play was a fantastic base, but to put it on film gave it another kind of level, which that it was when we started to play. It was something very strange because nobody had did that. So I took pieces out of three Mozart operas, put them together, and told a new story. And this story was now about Casanova. So it was kind of
Lorenzo da Ponte and Mozart had written an opera about Casanova, which really worked in a way of an opera. But now with the film, it went one or two layers further. We could bring in fantastic actors for, and the beautiful thing I can tell you, if you have John Malkovich in a team, you get anyone else. So I have a dream team, because you can choose every big or smaller role, you get the best people in the world, because everybody wants to be with him. So that was my great piece of luck for that. And I think this is something you can feel with the new film, that there is a lot of energy and a lot of talent and a lot of kind of joy of producing something together. And that's all packed in these 2 hours. And this is something very dense. And I hope you don't get bored, but I hope you don't, yeah.
Okay. Maybe let me add something from the standpoint of the conductor here. We are living in a time of fusion, so we have these great opera performances from the Metropolitan, for instance, being transmitted to cinemas around the world. We have concert performances which add movie, which add pictures. So in some ways we have this new way of seeing a combination between the arts, which was interesting for us whenever we started our projects with John, and we have done similar projects with combining music and acting before. And I think this is maybe the fascination of this movie. We have some of the greatest singers doing Mozart operas, and we tell the story which is in these operas in another way. Mozart has always a double meaning in his music. He tells the story by his art, by the music, and underneath there's a second message. And in some ways, as a musician, I feel we brought the second message out to life. So in practical life, for sure, this movie is something different from other movies. Is it an opera performance which is transmitted into the cinema? Is it a historical movie about Casanova? So we offer different views of the same subject. And for me as a musician, in some ways, I felt very happy when we did the work with all these great artists in a beautiful opera house in Lisbon. We could work for some time live to create something new. But on the other side, I think that this message which we want to transmit is something which is new, but also, for me, necessary to give this message of great art, of the great art of Mozart, a new meaning through the art of cinema. And for me, therefore, it was a very wonderful experience to develop this project, or to co-develop it with all these other great people, and to be part of the performance and of the creation of this piece. This is, I just wanted to add as a musician.
Hi, this is a question for everyone, but anyone who wants to answer, I am very thankful about that. Is if you have to brief in a sentence or in a small paragraph, what is the purpose of your work, your art, what would you say?
I've been talking all the time.
No one the sentence. You know, a film you cannot resume is not a Twitter, you know,
you
cannot
generally
talk about films, you know, but I think that it's difficult to, if you saw the film, to just take what it is. I think it's a fantastic piece of art, that's all.
But from my point of view, you can say it's we got comfortable sitting between chairs.
What is the purpose of your work in general, or in this movie?
No, in general, I am going through the movie to the self of
each of you.
Okay,
so very general. Yeah.
But that's a big question, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and I think it's useful.
Of course, but I don't want... it's just a question if it's short enough. I would say to not, in a philosophical way, to work on art or to admire art is both to not to feel so alone. To find someone else who felt the same.
To have the illusion of finding someone else for one moment.
Yeah, but I'm optimistic. Probably he's not, but I actually
this
find
is totally
people
optimistic.
Who did the same. It's not an illusion.
No, but the question is big. You can answer it in the smallest scale. It begins with, I have the privilege to choose as much in my what I do and don't do to not be bored, yeah, to do something which is fun and interesting, to spend a good time, to maybe then be lucky enough that other people have with the product and good time too and are not bored and interested, and that is something which like spreads. And I live one time only. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, it's my motivation for almost everything I do. I know I will live this one time, that's it. So if I get a chance, look, I'm having a ball here. I come from a different world. I'm a classical musician. So if somebody calls me and says, you want to make a movie or a theater play with John Malkovich, I live one time. Yeah, of course.
I don't know if you movie people know what kind of musicians we have here, because there was no question about Jonas Kaufmann now, and he's really the most famous tenor of the world at the moment. But every one of the singers of this production are such high-class people that if they were movie people, everyone would get hundreds of questions, of course. And the thing is that the musical world and the film world are quite apart, mm-hmm. and they fear each other. And this film might be a little try and have no fear.
I think I would answer your question by saying Paolo produced a film of Manuel de Oliveira's, which I always thought had one of the great ending lines of in all of the centuries cinema, at least that I saw, which was a film called Valabram, and it ends with the phrase of a character saying, "No one is so good as I in pretending life is beautiful," and I think that's a sort of a good definition anyway of why I do what I do.
This is for John Malkovich. You are an inspiration to a lot of not only actors but also young filmmakers like me. I see your films and I get very inspired. And I saw the other day as well the Paradox of John Malkovich, the documentary about some work he did.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in which you said that, the people you worked with, the young people you worked with, also inspired you and taught you a lot. And I wanted to know what you brought in from those lessons you learned with them into this film, into this work that you did, because it was very hard work.
It's always hard to say, maybe specifically, but my work with them was so inspirational to me, because although I know they put great effort into it, all of them, it didn't seem like it. And it seemed like they could do everything effortlessly. And I liked, of course, any production has drama and any production has troubles and any production has this and that, but they really worked with great passion and style and pretty fearlessly. And
we were afraid.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably were afraid, but of course that's always the case for all of us when you do something there's a very good chance you're going to make an incredible ass out of yourself. Okay, but every performer has to get used to that. And the young actors in that, even from the time of their auditions, I was moved by their talent. Oh, talent is very, very moving to me and very inspiring. And although the reason I always say I never direct anything that I'm in, it's for a very simple reason. That would mean my least favorite director working with my least favorite actor. But having said that, they were a great inspiration to me as a director. You know, I didn't act with them, except now with Lola being in this, we acted together. But it's so nice. I think it's very nice to be, I met all of the young actors in that film in Liaison when I was 56 or so, I don't know, something like that, 4 years ago. And to be inspired at that age when I know so many cynics, or they're not even cynics because they're just tired, is a fantastic thing. And that's something you mentioned Marcello Mastroianni before. That's something about him that was incredible. He still loved to get up in the morning, go to a movie set, do his work. He loved it. No? He loved it. And there was not a drop of cynicism about him. None. And that's a great thing because I have other associates and other comrades who I love who really can't stand it. You know, they do it because they make a living or they do, but they don't like it at all. And it's the point being, it's great when you get to work with people, obviously my age or younger or slightly younger, but with much, much younger, somehow it's more inspiring because, I don't know, maybe because I have kids and it makes me worry less. I don't know why. But maybe it's that, I don't know. But when I see really young, talented people, plus I think it's tougher now, I'm very inspired by it. So.
Bien, tenemos que terminar.
Okay, we have to finish here. Thank you very much.